Hi, how's everybody? Okay, so we're holding him in the Perek HaShemini of the Shemini Prakim, and in Perek HaShemini he really touches on a lot of very, very important inyanim, such as Bechira and so on. I just assume the general inyan of the Shemini Prakim is because Pirkei Avos, as opposed to other Svarim, Sozarim Sechtes, is not dealing with a particular Maisa Ha'adam. We're dealing with general Tchunis HaNefesh of a person. We're dealing with much bigger areas in terms of Midas and Deis. So the ability for a person to actually change himself is important. To do a particular Maisa is an easier understanding of Bechira than to say that a person can actually change something in a very fundamental way. Okay. He starts up by saying, you can't say a person automatically is chashev or not chashev, good or bad, as he's born. Just like a person can't be born a carpenter, what you can say, and what is true, is that a person can have some sort of propensity for something. A person can have a personality or character that lends itself more to this, that, or the other. That it's easy for him to do X or Y. Some people find learning to be easy and pleasurable, and some people find it to be quite difficult and frustrating. Moshel zeh, she adam she mizgoy noita la yoivish, vi etze moichi zach ma'at halachis, hine zi kala vaschira avon esenyonim yoisim ashal ish balech levona. Rav alach v'moch. So the Rambam uses his understandings, you know, what was contemporary in his days in science, but the Rambam is saying there are physical reasons why a person may have an easier time remembering someone else. Today, we just have a more sophisticated way of looking at it, and that there are physical aspects that make a person more, give him better abilities. Let's say a person is absolutely brilliant, tremendous memory, gvaldike tfisa, everything, but he's not learning anything, and without anything to awaken that dormant potential, he can remain a fool. And if they teach it time and again to somebody who has a more difficult abilities, he will understand it. It'll be much harder for him, it'll take more time, but at the end he'll understand it. You see people that can be athletic, they can be stronger. There are some people that have a more, I mean, in his language he calls it a colder nature. He tends to be scared and cautious and so on. So yes, there are inborn netiyas, one way or another way, that is true, that exists, and it means that a person can have an easy time one way or another. The reason why I've explained this, it was common in those days, the sense was that the stars you're born under determine where you're going. And a person must do those things. So the stargazers had the belief that everything is muchrach from the stars you're born in. The truth is, in science also, one of the puzzles that science still wrestles with today is, I know that a computer, if I were to know how the computer works and the program that's running it, I could tell you every answer the computer will give you. Might take me forever to do it, but it has to be that way. If the computer is programmed with program X, the answers will always correspond to it. So anytime that so now the question is, our brains have all sorts of cells, memories, chemicals, whatever it is. Theoretically, then, I should be able to sum it all up and to tell you how you're going to have to do something. That's going to be how I would go about determining exactly what you have to do. On the physical level, if we shoot something, if I shoot a bullet, if I were to know exactly the angle at which the bullet is bent, the force of the powder, and so on, if I knew all the facts, then I would have to know where the bullet is going to land. It's just maybe a little too complicated for you to figure out, but it's predetermined. So why would the mind be different? We don't have anything in our physical world, or better said, in our macro physical world, that fits anything but a very predetermined path. And therefore, human behavior, one would also think. So in the Rambam's days, they posited it had something to do with the scars and so on. But we can say it's whatever inputs have been input in your brain will determine the effect. So he says, Avlato da ki dova muslim et harsena philosophy vanis. Both the Torah and philosophy says, K'moshim su tainas ha'emes, shemaisa odom kulam isurim elav. Ein koifel abahem, loy moishach loy machutz bishum ponim, etel ma'ala prisus. So we know that a person has in himself the ability to act other than his nature is. So it is possible a person can make a statement, it is difficult for me to do X, it's difficult for me to do Y, and then the person would be correct. You know, at least we would, it would be plausible. If he says I had to do it, it would not be. But that the person must do it or can't do something, that doesn't exist. It's always a question of want or don't want. Now it brings a raya, at least from the Torah itself. It would not make any sense at all. The whole Torah is a worthless document. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us to do this or that if we are who we are and we can't change? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us with the Torah means that there's some sort of mashmos to the Torah. It means that a person can actually change in the wake of it. Teaching people anything would be worthless because they're hevel. So first of all, he says the Torah would be worthless. Why are you writing a Torah when everything has to do what it has to do? It's not going to help any. So what's the point of it? Secondly, he says, "Vayaschar v'einish gamkin avogama." At the end of the day, the schar, the einish, is also meaningless because it's more than meaningless. It's a gross injustice. It's one thing if you tell me that for me it's more difficult than for you. So you say, okay, so I get more schar if I do it, and the Kashbar expects this of me, that of me, fine. But if you're telling me that I can't do it, then why would I get punished for doing something I can't do? I even have a raya for that. Lemaisa, in everything in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an oynes is pata. Now, an oynes in the Torah doesn't even mean that you have to do it. It just meant you were under extreme duress, like somebody threatened to take your life. So you can give up your life. The Torah didn't even demand that. But to say that in a case where I actually can't do differently, then how is it that in the world that the Torah could possibly mechayev me? There's no point to that. And just if you then go ahead and punish somebody for doing something that he was forced to do, it's incredible. It's insane. So Lemay said that it would be a tremendous schar v'onish. In that case, would be a tremendous avla. Whether it's Bezdin meeting out punishments or HaKadosh Baruch Hu meeting out a punishment, in all cases it would be unjust. If Shimon kills Reuven, you're telling me that Reuven had to do it and Shimon had to be killed. Furthermore, any type of expenditure of effort now apart to do something good or right or whatever it is would be a waste of time. In other words, to prepare something, houses and everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what, and it's a very, very determined, predetermined mahalach. So what's the point of it? All of it is going to be a simple waste of effort and time. Now he says, first of all, it's sheker. The neged hamuskel v'amurgash, it defies every bit of honest understanding that we have ourselves in sense. V'arisas chomis haTorah, destroys Torah. V'yichus avol Hashem is al chulim zeh. I want to just explain something where it's coming from. It seemed to be, I think that the Rambam refers to them as ashara. In Asharia, maybe in Mora, this was a group in Muslim. It was some sort of either movement of Muslim, and I'm not sure about exactly the level of. I'm assuming that it was fairly a mainstream movement or belief, and I think it's possibly it is the mainstream belief. A very, very strong streak of determinism, which means that everything is exactly as God wills it. Nothing that man does helps, hinders, in any way affects it. It sounds extremely frum. We're acknowledging everything is God and God and so on and so forth. The truth is, it's in a sense freeing yourself from any type of obligation. Basically, it's something where you are totally absolved of any guilt of what you did. Everything God did, so if God did everything, God's guilty of everything, and we have absolutely no guilt and no responsibility. It's the end of it. It's a very, very it's a very non-religious doctrine. Man's actions are given to him im yirtze yase, im yirtze lo yase. Mibli kfim lechel hakach. He can if he wants to do it or not do it. I once heard from Chatzkel Abramsky. He was speaking. He had a very extraordinary, regal and structured way of speaking and thinking, I guess. And I once walked in here, heard a shir from him, and it was interesting. It was a shir that had both halacha and agada elements in it. And he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzvah a person, any mitzvah they can't do. He says he has six rayas, two of which he would share with us. One of them I forgot, but one of them I remember very clearly was Yifastoyar. He said that Yifastoyar, it says the Torah was mate Yifastoyar because it knew a person could not resist the Yitzhahara. So by implication that means that in all the other cases a person could resist the Yitzhahara. It is possible for him to do it. In a more general way, he says, so we have Bechira, and then there's a structure of schar and onish for a person who did it or was over. V'hoye kolz et tzedek. V'ischayev lehargel nafsho bepulos atovos at shikonu la'amailos. And the person, so now he says, okay, so now that I can do it, so what am I supposed to do? So he says, he needs to begin to slowly do the good things until he gets those milas. A person needs to work at changing who he is. And he can't say, well, I'm already this, I'm not going to change. So you can go either way. And if a person neglects good midas that have been built up, they will become bad. And vice versa, if a person is focused on it and works on it. And this is the reason why we've brought everything about listening and you know all the inyanim of what it means to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu, all that is for the purpose of making of helping a person decide or choose. I want to refer back to a sentence he said before. He said, "V'ischayev lehargel nafsho bepulos atoyves atshiknu la'amailis." At this point, the Rambam also says, this is a Mishnah Torah. This is actually the point that he makes in Hilchos Deis, which corresponds to Midas. The chiyuv itself of becoming a good person, meaning not only a person who does activities and tasks that are good, but rather a person become changed in a way that I can be magged that this person's instincts and nitiyas are good, is the process is a process of training yourself. As a person trains himself, so it's consistent, steady steps in a certain direction. That is what it's about. Again, he's not talking here about getting a person to do mitzvahs when he's mezals on it. He's talking about working on a personality, and this is what it's talian. So he says, "Behin initial dovel levar b'zeh inyan." There's something I need to explain about this, and this the Rambam also speaks about this in Mishnah Torah when he talks about bechira in Hilchos Teshuva. Vehu. Shebo miktsas kros, ktsas mikros, yidamu bem ne odom shasham yigza meri, vishrech aleim. People prove from psukim, vizer sheke, and they're wrong. Ulafik on the varam, and that's why I need to explain it. Ki harbe nosu vinosu bem ne odom. People have mentioned these psukim, people have talked about them, and that's why they distorted it. They brought from here rayas, katkilu hasesholem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machriach people. So I will learn up these psukim in a way that will put the lie to it. Amr l'Avram v'avodavina oisam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram in a nevuah, and an incredible nevuah, b'sam psurim, that the mitzvim are going to be v'avodavina oisam. Amru. So people say, aloi tira shekvar gozal mitzvim sheyashka zer Avram. I mean, a few hundred years before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Avram Avinu that the mitzvim are going to make the life of your children difficult. Why did he punish them? Vehei muchrochim. Ein molos lem mishavim kumash gozal. They had no choice. So one catch is, and others trying to talk about this also. His answer is as follows: Shezek kilo omis ala ki asidim livoled yeme mamre v'nishma v'tzadik v'rasha. Let's say somebody says, you know, some of the kids will be tzadikim, some of the kids not. V'ze emis, and that's true. V'loy b'ze amayim is chay ploin rosh v'sosha bechreach. And you can't. And just because it is, somebody can't decide, well, I have to be a Rasha. So no one had a personal gzera that you Yankel have to do it. It was on all the Egyptians. In other words, it was general. And each person with his own bechira could do what he wants to do. So therefore, any person in Mitzvim who hurt them, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make a gzeira on any one individual, so therefore they can't say that we had each mitzvah will not be able to exonerate himself. That's the Rama. The Ravidi asks, yes, correct. That's the Ravid's kasha basically. The Ravid in Mishnah Torah asked this. But you know, it somebody had to do it and so on. The driver asks on it. I'd like to give a teretz, not so much as a teretz, because we're not going to understand the answer, but at least we'll have a very, very, we'll have a clear analogy that does work. Let's leave religion. Let's go to Milad Alma. So, I walk down into a big ShopRite, or I should say ShopRite of blessed memory now, in Lakewood, and I call the manager over, and I ask the manager how many Chol V'Sol milks are you going to sell today? And the manager says to me, if it's Tuesday, I'm going to sell 3,753 milks today. Good. So I watch, and sure enough, at the end of the day, the tally is 3,753 milks. Amazing. Now, I do more than that. I walk over to everybody that goes by the milk aisle, the people that bought milk, and the people that sort of maybe moved through the aisle and didn't buy milk, or looked at the milk and didn't buy. And I ask each one, Reb Yankel, I see that you put on 13, you bought 13 milks. Who told you that you have to buy 30 milks? And the person will look like I'm crazy and say, I just need milks. I take milk for a few days and that's what I take. I see the person walking by and not buying any milk, even though I just kind of walked by and looked at it. I ask him, my high, and he tells me, you know what, I really don't need milk now, and it's just a big pain to schlep it, so I'm leaving it here, and I'm going to take milk in a week from now. and so on. Now, each individual who goes to a store to buy has bechira. We certainly would not take kindly to the idea that somebody's forcing us to go to the store to buy and so on. But meidach gisa, when you look at the macro level, at the rabbim, I can predict with near certainty, and the bigger the rabbim is, the more certain I can be. You know, that's incredible. How does that happen? And the answer is, that's all statistics works like that. All the statistic tells me, as the sample gets bigger, the results become more and more fast and predetermined. And yet, on the yochid, we would never ever say that any yochid was forced to go in to buy this or that or the other thing. So here we have an example, an analogy. It's the reality we live in, that even when there's a gzeira, some sort of fact, a physical gzeira on the tzibur, this still does not translate to a gzeira on the yachid. That's what I see in a story like that, in a mush like that. What? Yes. Right. Right. Yes. So you're right. There's some people, but in a certain sense, even if they're not consciously choosing, at the end of the day, they're following some instinct to go down, and to buy the milk, and some of the people are making choices, and that's how it works out. I just showing it an illustration of where we see a difference between the public and private, a yochid and a rabbim. And you find that also a Kaddish Baruch Hu is done a rabbim, you know, with the predominant flavor of the rabbim, and not only with each person's own particular choices. So on the rabbim level, it does seem like that. That is true. That's what he says. On the yochid level, not. So every person could have chosen to every mitzvah had the choice. It's the fact that all the mitzvahim were bad and so on and so forth. So they joined up, but they certainly had bechira. It's not much different. Lahavdil, you know, if somebody joined the Nazi army, you know, everybody could have been conscripted. Everybody may or may not have had some sort of choice to be mishtatev, but at the end of the day, the individual made some choices. So he says like this: "V'zoyis atru batzin atru val omroi." There's another pasuk that seems to indicate some sort of predetermination. It says, "Moshe Rabbeinu told Klaisol, you are going to you're going to die, and then the nation will rise up and become Avdei Avodah Zarah." So l'chura, Kadosh Baruch Hu was gozer on them to be Avdei Avodah Zarah. Shein hefesh bein zeh. Ubein Omroi Mishe Yavid Avodazura Nasa Bekach Vekach. Lefishim Loyasham Loyla Mishe Yavid Yim Levatolo. Yaklolos Kulam Vatolo Kerasha Shabatera. Veloybegom Tsias Dina Skilo Betera, Namish Zeshel Shabbos Mughal Hilulai. Veloybegla la Klolos Yhuy of Shanema Shahism Shav Dovidazura, Beholban Klosain, Nixam Bavidasum. Albe Pirose Ovat. So the Rambam learns Pshat in the Pasuk, and he says, he doesn't say he's not saying that people will be over the Zara. Really what he's saying in fact is, in case people will be tempted by avodah zarah, or I know that there will be a problem, and therefore I'm giving you this shira to warn them about it, and so on. So the Rambam says that the pasuk is not telling you a flat-out nevuah; it's telling me, listen, if this and this is the case, this and this is the solution. The truth is, it's even more than that. That I mean, other Rishayim learned the whole pasuk as being a sort of a kal v'chomer. He wasn't telling him a nevuah; he was saying, listen. You see how things are sliding downhill. You're alive, and people are being over the zara, so it's only a matter of time. It's sort of a prediction based on the psychology of the people, that it the way things are, it's going to over the zara. There's no other choice. So it's based on a logical or evaluation of the situation. But he says something very, very interesting. He says, you can't say that, just like a person can come up and tell me that if it says in the Torah, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, that if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, he's going to get Skila. You can't imagine that Torah would be talking about a case that's Lirik, and, that's not Shaykh to happen. So Bal Korach, somebody's going to do skila, or somebody's going to have to do skila, because also Torah wouldn't have given it. So he says that's nonsense. The fact that the Torah warned you on it is not an excuse. The Torah didn't mean to say you will do it. The Torah meant to say simply, if you do it, so that's pashut. Or the Torah is saying, things are likely to happen this way, and so on. It's interesting, because Chazal do sound a little different. Chazal say that Neira li loisav, I'm sorry, Kadosh Baruch Hu's maisim are an extraordinary alila. They're a plot of some sort. They're Kadosh Baruch Hu's schemes against us. So Chazal give a few examples of Medrash. One is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, listen, if you can eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, you're going to die, and you're going to bring me some to this world, and you'll be such a terrible, terrible person. Mashenkin, if you don't eat, it'll be Chaim, and so on. If it's Chaim, everything will be good. When he said that if you don't eat, so Chazal say, Moshe Rabbeinu turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, I don't get it. If you gave us a Torah, and the Torah, it says, there's a parasha of paraduma, which can only happen when somebody dies. Paraduma is mechapa and misa of people. It's metar, not mechapa. So Adam told him, Chazal paraphrased it, listen, you yourself decreed that there would be such a din, because or else there couldn't be any parasha of paraduma, and you gave paraduma as a very, very important halacha. That's one raya. There's a second raya I'm thinking of. The Rambam in Hilchas Melachim, when he brings the proofs that there's a Mashiach ben HaTorah. So one of his proofs is that Moshe Rabbeinu was mavdil Arim for Klal Yisrael. He set aside Arim Miklut for Klal Yisrael, and these Arim Miklut would not take effect. They never took effect, and Bal Korchach at someday they'll have to take effect. So it's Ki'ilu the Rambam says that you can have a part of the Torah that is lirik. If the Torah, for Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave a tzivu to Adam, to Moshe, the tzivu will have to be neskayim. That's his logic. That's one of his proofs, that Mashiach is min haTorah. And you can go back and forth on it. I can't, you can explain that over there. It's not doing an aveira or whatever. it's just a question of initiating or of having our miklat. And I know there are the ways to go, but Akapan the Ram there also speaks about this point, and he says that it's something if Moshe Rabbeinu said it, it will have to be miskayim at some point. So it's keilu that there's no Dvar Hashem that goes lirik, which again can say that it's different in where it's given l'chatchila as a choice, in other words, a mitzvah avera, versus something where it's not a mitzvah avera, it's just he told him to do it, he did it. And the question was, it wasn't effective. Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have told him to do something which wasn't going to be effective? Mesoyim Eretz says they never had it. So that becomes a kasha on the Rambam. What about Mesoyim Remora? Mesoyim Lohev and Nivra. So I would explain the difference between Mesoyim Remora, because Mesoyim Remora, nothing ever was done. It's not as if anyone did anything. It's tucked into the parshas of the Torah. The Torah gave a whole series of parshas, and this parsha doesn't have a lemaisidik kiyum. Okay, by the being mavdil, the orim over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had him do something. And it doesn't make sense that he would have a chana for something. Let me see. Let's just read the Rambam inside a second. Rambam Melachim here. He brings, okay. Af be'orim miklot, it's Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Beis. Af be'orim miklot hu oimer ki yarcha v'shankeh su v'olcho v'yasat ho'i tshalash arashal zaylo u'moyin lo'r dover zeh v'tzeh kodesh baruch hu l'toyhu. So over there, there was, he didn't do it before, but over there he was mitzave him to do it. In Mesoyim Remora, the whole tzur of the mitzvah is if and when, then this and this. But over here, it's actually a tzivui, and a Dvar Hashem can't be chayzer l'rik. That's the Ramzai. So there is a difference between something which is a definitive statement versus something which is up in the air. The Rav, like we said before, he says that each person added a more, each person, the people, the individuals did a lot worse than they were told to do, and therefore they're being nanish on that. They could have been yoitze, yedei chayvasam, with a little bit of trouble, and they did more. So the Rambam here says, is saying that in the pasuk of Hinei Shechem Ha'Secha, it means that it's just telling you in case, if, whatever. And in Mitzrayim, even though that was an absolute gzeira, the gzeira was a cluelistic of ones that something will happen, but that these people do it in themselves, that wasn't nixa. Okay, any questions, anything? What do you mean the other Rishayim? I mean, it's Chazal that says Balila, that Adam came, Adam answered back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Balila to Baileini, yeah. So, how do you resolve some... No, the Rambam speaks about the Tzura Bechir before, but the understanding to Balila Taboy Leinu, there's in real Biyaseida Dava, it goes against it. It really touches on the shayla of yediyah and bechira, but one answer. There are a few different answers. One answer would be that paraduma would have a different surah. Like Ramban says, you could have different parashas meaning different things, and it takes on certain meanings because of what happened. In other words, paraduma would have the heard itself differently, would have been given differently. Maybe it was, you could answer like Ben Soramor is the same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like Hoyev Lenivra, but it's a daring case. And that itself has a hezba, the inyan of something being there to just be derech kabbalas chayim means it's emes, whether or not it actually happens befall, but it conveys a certain emes. L'mashal, Ben Sora Morer, even though, let's say it was Lehoya Lenivra, but we can learn Gidrei Mishpat from it, that's Yomas Zakar Yomas Chayev. We can learn up the whole parasha, and the whole parasha has a Shem Torah on it. Just because something is given in the world as Torah doesn't mean that it has to come down to Olam HaMaisa. That's, this, I guess, in line with this, because that's the simplest Torah for it. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, I mean, I'm almost finished. We have one more session. I was using Shilat, Yitzchak Shilat's edition. I like it a lot. We did the Akdam LeMishnah we had done. We did Shemoneh Prokim now. I assume the only other we'll do the Akdam LeTechelek next. So it's, I guess it is Kedai. I trust his. It integrity in terms of the Tirgum. So probably one more time. It's I don't know if you've seen it. It's Shalat Hakdamas Aram the Mishnah. It's a bunch. Yes, Igris also. So if we do Igris Mishnah, we'll probably use that also. Okay. Good. Good. I'm sorry. Ah, great. Okay. Sure. Okay. Call it. Bye.